Once again, our scripture reading today is taken from the 23rd Psalm. Let us hear the word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The text for the sermon today is taken from this portion of the Word of God, Psalm 23, and the second part of verse 5. There David writes, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and preaching of his holy word. Dear friends, there is something very meaningful about a family sitting together around the dinner table, especially on festive occasions. On those occasions especially, the table is nicely set and overladen with the best food and drink. Mom has brought out her finest dishes and glassware. Everyone is dressed up. The food looks delicious. It is a sight to behold. Last week in this series on Psalm 23, we meditated on the table which the Lord prepares for his sheep. And we saw that this table was a picture of all the blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus. And the Lord sets these blessings before his people like so many delectable dishes at a great banquet feast. Well, today, with the Lord's help, we'd like to take a closer look at this scene. Specifically, we want to look at the sheep as they approach and are seated at the table. So my theme is the sheep at the table. And we'll consider 2 points. First of all, their blessed anointing, and secondly, their abundant provision. As the sheep approach the table, the shepherd does something wonderful. He anoints their heads with oil. Now, to those of us who live in the 21st century, this seems rather strange. What is David talking about here? What is this anointing with oil? Well, to answer this question, we need to understand that in ancient times, it was customary for the host at a dinner party to anoint his guests with oil, which was often mixed with perfume. The oil was used to refresh the body and make the skin soft and supple. This was a welcome luxury, especially in regions which were hot and dry. Oil was also used in certain religious ceremonies, notably when anointing people into the offices of prophet, priest, and king. We think, for example, of Samuel anointing Saul and David. But here the reference is clearly to the anointing of guests before a dinner party. And so what David is saying here is this: not only does the good shepherd set before me a table in the presence of my enemies, he also, as a good host ought to do, anoints my head with oil. Now, this has led some commentators to suggest, as we saw last time, that the imagery in this psalm changes in verse 5, that we are no longer here speaking about sheep, but about soldiers sitting at a banquet table in the middle of a battlefield. And this is based on the fact that they are seated in the presence of enemies and the fact that sheep do not sit at a table. Now, although this is possible, there's no reason to change the metaphor here. David here is still speaking about the shepherd and his sheep. And so what we have here is a picture of the shepherd literally anointing the head of his sheep with oil. Now that raises the question, when did shepherds anoint the heads of their sheep with oil? Once again, Philip Keller, whose book I have quoted several times in this series, has some interesting things to say. Keller recalls that often in the summer months, his sheep would be driven to distraction by flies and other insects. One of the most annoying of these was the nose fly. This particular fly would buzz about the sheep's head in an attempt to deposit its eggs in the damp mucous membranes of the sheep's nose. And if it was successful, within a few days, these eggs would hatch and out would come slender, worm-like larvae. And these larvae would work their way up the nasal passages into the sheep's head and burrow themselves into the flesh, resulting in severe irritation and inflammation. Needless to say, this would cause the sheep tremendous discomfort. Keller tells us that sometimes the sheep would beat their heads against trees and rocks and fence posts or brush. They would rub their faces in the soil and thrash around in the bushes. In extreme cases, Keller informs us, a sheep would even try to kill itself, all in an effort to find relief from the pain and discomfort. Now, before the days of chemical sprays and powders, the only way to prevent this from happening was to take a mixture of linseed oil, sulfur, and tar, and smear it over the sheep's head and nose. Keller recalls that as soon as this was done, he noticed an immediate change in the sheep's behavior. Gone was the aggravation, the frenzy, the irritability, and the restlessness. Instead, the sheep would begin to feed quietly again, and soon some of them would even lie down and rest. The same treatment would be used for something the shepherds called scab. Scab is an irritating and highly contagious disease common among sheep all over the world. It's caused by a minute microscopic parasite that quickly spreads throughout the flock by direct contact between infected and non-infected animals. In sheep, scab is most prominent around the head. And the reason for this is because sheep love to rub heads. And when they do this, unknowingly, they spread the disease. And the only way to prevent the spread of this disease is to submerge the sheep in the same solution of linseed oil, sulfur, and tar. Now, needless to say, the most difficult part of the sheep's body to treat in this way was the head. The head had to be literally plunged into this solution several times, otherwise it would have no effect. Some shepherds would even treat the head by hand. There is, however, one other situation when shepherds would anoint the head of his sheep. Keller informs us that often when grazing, the heads of the sheep would become scratched and injured, especially when foraging for lush green grass that could often be found growing around bushes or beside large rocks. Sometimes these little scratches could become infected with certain parasites, threatening the health of the sheep. And again, the only way to treat this condition was to anoint the sheep's head with soothing oil. We have here a touching picture of how the Lord Jesus Christ cares for his sheep. Here we see him, in the words of Isaiah 40, verse 11, gathering the lambs in his arms, carrying them in his bosom, gently, tenderly applying the soothing ointment to their injured heads. He is, in every sense of the word, the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. He knows all about those pesky little parasites, those disgusting scabs, and those irritating little abrasions that so often hinder us from feeding contentedly under his watchful eye. And there are so many of them, aren't there? There's the power of indwelling sin. There's the ongoing reality of temptation. There is the memory of past sins. There are people who have wronged you in some way, and have never apologized and have never repented. And all of these things can quickly take away our happiness and our joy, leaving us feeling restless and irritable and in some cases downright nasty. But then the Good Shepherd comes with his healing oil, and he tenderly, gently applies it where we need it most. Well, what is this oil that the Shepherd, the Lord Jesus, applies? Well, is it not the Holy Spirit? Many times throughout the Scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is compared to, or at least associated with, the oil of anointing. For example, immediately after David was anointed by Samuel to be the next king of Israel, we read that the Spirit of God came upon him. The anointing oil symbolized the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And this was true not only for David, but for all kings who were anointed, as well as prophets and priests. We see the same thing in the New Testament at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. Although the anointing in this case was performed with water rather than oil, it was nevertheless followed by the descent of the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. Paul makes the same connection in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 21 and 22. He writes, "Now he which establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." Here the Apostle Paul links the anointing of believers with the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Essentially, he says, they are one and the same thing. Finally, the Apostle John in 1 John 2, verse 27, speaks of believers having received of God an anointing which teaches them all things. And that is in truth, and it is no lie. And this is an obvious reference to the Holy Spirit. So we may conclude that the anointing spoken of here points to the anointing of the believer by the Holy Spirit. But you may ask, what does all of this have to do with this psalm? How does the image of the shepherd anointing the heads of his sheep with oil relate to the work of the Holy Spirit? Well, it does so in several ways. The picture before us speaks to us of the healing and restoring work of the Spirit. Just like that oil that the shepherd applies to the heads of his sheep to ward off the flies and to bring and promote healing, so the Lord sends his Holy Spirit to bring healing and restoration and refreshment to his people. Have you not experienced this yourself personally, child of God? You may recall times in your life when you were cast down, when you were hurt and depressed, disheartened, dejected, afraid, weak, feeling guilty or bewildered. How were you restored? Was it not when the Word of God was applied to your heart with power? Perhaps it was a promise. Perhaps even the promise that we meditated on a few weeks ago, that even though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Good Shepherd is with us, with his rod and staff comforting us. Or it could have been any of the hundreds of promises in the Word of God that was exactly suited for the particular trial or difficulty you were facing. That in turn gave you new strength, didn't it? Assuring you, refreshing you, restoring you to fellowship and communion with God. Let me ask you, who does all of this? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. He is the Good Shepherd who applies the oil of healing, the oil of restoration, the oil of refreshment, renewing the wounded and troubled soul. But there is more. When we study the Scriptures, we discover that anointing with oil symbolized more than just healing. It also symbolized consecration to office. We said earlier that in the Old Testament, prophets, priests, and kings were anointed with oil. And this symbolized the fact that they were called and equipped by God for the task which the Lord had laid upon them. Now, although that's not the primary meaning here, Since, as we saw earlier, that is not the verb that is used here, it is nevertheless suggestive of the believer's anointing by the Holy Spirit as prophets, priests, and kings in Christ. So the first thing that is symbolized here is the believer's anointing into the threefold office of Christ. But secondly, this anointing symbolizes the presence and favor of God. I think of this connection of Psalm 89. Here God says in verses 20 to 23, I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. Notice that God says that he anointed David with his holy oil. Not the priest's holy oil, but his own holy oil. What is that? Well, that's an obvious reference to the Holy Spirit. And in anointing David with this holy oil, God assured him that he would be with him. He would establish him and strengthen him. The enemy would not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. He would beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. All of this is implied in David's having been anointed with God's holy oil. The believer's anointing with the Holy Spirit symbolizes the same thing, does it not? The Apostle Paul sometimes refers to the Holy Spirit as an earnest, in other words, a guarantee, a pledge of the presence and favor of God. This is exactly what the Holy Spirit does. He assures the believer that the enmity which caused a separation between himself and God by his sin has been removed, and that he has been adopted as a child and heir of God, and that as his child he will be with me, as surely as he was with David. He will help me in my constant fight and struggle against sin. He will, in the words of Psalm 89, beat down all my foes and eventually bring me to glory. But thirdly, the oil of anointing symbolizes God's blessing and preservation. This is implied already in what we've just said. If the anointing with oil symbolized God's presence and favor, that implies that this presence and favor will never cease. Isn't that exactly what David says in Psalm 18, verse 50? He says, great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. Again, David referencing here is, the reference here to David is to God's anointed. What we have in view here is not so much the presence of God, although that is certainly implied, but the preservation of God. He gives to his king great deliverance, and to his seed forevermore. Now, is that not what the Holy Spirit does in the life of the believer as well? We speak about the perseverance of the saints. By that we mean that a person who has been saved by Christ cannot fall away. He will be brought to glory. And that is not due to his own efforts. It is entirely due to the Holy Spirit, who gives grace to persevere to the very end, ultimately bringing every believer to glory in Christ. But fourthly, the anointing oil symbolizes joy. In Eastern cultures, anointing the face was considered a sign of joy. Conversely, not to anoint the face was considered a sign of mourning. And so we read in Psalm 45, verse 7, about the oil of gladness. Now this too is an aspect of the work of the Spirit, isn't it? In Galatians 5, verse 22, we read that one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. And what kind of joy is this? Well, it's not just superficial joy, but it's a spirit-wrought joy. It's a joy that comes from knowing that all my sins are washed away in the blood of Christ, and that I am a child of God and an heir of everlasting life. That's the kind of joy that the Holy Spirit works in the heart of the believer. And it's a joy that we all need to experience if we are anointed by the Good Shepherd. Now, it is true, of course, we don't always experience that joy. There can be times in the life of a child of God when it is very dark, and perhaps even some of you are going through such a time right now. If that's the case, then you need to ask the Lord to give you a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, so that you may once again experience the joy of your salvation. That's what David did in Psalm 51, did he not? You may remember Psalm 51 was written after David had sinned against the Lord with Bathsheba. David fell out of fellowship and communion with God. God, as it were, turned his face from him for a time, stripping David of the joy of his salvation. And in verses 11 and 12, he prays that that joy might be restored. He writes, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." You see what David is doing here? He's asking the Lord to restore to him the joy of his salvation. How? By not taking his Holy Spirit from him. David knew that the Holy Spirit was the means by which God imparts a sense of joy and peace to his people. A joy and peace which he had lost as a result of his sin. And the wonder of it is that the Lord heard and answered David's petition, for David was restored. And he went on to write many more psalms, psalms of joy, psalms of praise and thanksgiving to God for delivering him and restoring him to favor with God. In a sense, everything we have mentioned so far leads to this point, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit restores, refreshes. He also assures us of God's presence and preserves us. And as a result of all of this, the believer experiences overwhelming joy in God through Christ. And that's because when the Lord sends his Holy Spirit, he does so in great abundance. The Lord, you see, is not stingy with his gifts. He pours them out upon his people. We see that under our second point. David ends this verse with an exclamation. He says, "My cup runneth over." Now there's a progression here. First, David is seated at a table, overflowing with the blessings of God in Christ. Then his head is anointed with refreshing oil. And now finally, he is given a cup that is filled to overflowing. Now again, some have argued that we are dealing here with a banquet scene, where the host is filling the chalices of his guests with his best wine. And there's something to commend this interpretation. In fact, when we study the customs of the period, we will discover that whenever a man held a feast or celebration, he would personally fill the goblets of his guests to overflowing as a sign of his liberality and to make his guests feel welcome and appreciated. But again, it is best to stay with the imagery of the sheep and the shepherd. When we do that, then we must not see this cup as a goblet full of wine, but rather as a bucket full of water. Sometimes, if there were no streams or pools of water nearby, the shepherd in biblical times would have to water his sheep by hand. And he would do this by attaching a leather bucket to a long rope and throwing it down a well, bringing up overflowing with cool, clear water. Now, all of this involved a considerable amount of work. It's estimated that it would take one man approximately 2 hours to water an average flock of 100 sheep. Considering the amount of work involved, most shepherds only provided their flocks with just enough water to tide them over until they came across a stream where the sheep could drink to their heart's content. But not this shepherd. The shepherd of Psalm 23 does not just provide the bare minimum. He provides a great abundance. He thoroughly quenches the thirst of his entire flock. He fills his bucket to overflowing. Now again, is this not the experience of the believer? God is never stingy with his gifts, is he? No, not at all. In fact, he pours them out in great abundance. Is that not true also with respect to the Holy Spirit? The Lord does not give his Holy Spirit in half measures. No, the language that is used with reference to the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures is the language of great abundance. Repeatedly it is stated that the Spirit is poured out. Believers are filled with the Spirit. Now, since that is so, beloved, why is it that we so often wander in darkness? Why is there so often little joy, so little victory over sin? So little genuine communion with God in our experience. Why is it that some live on year after year without ever feeling peace with God? It's not because the Lord is not willing. The Lord fills our cups to overflowing. But it is because we are not willing. We simply refuse to believe that all the benefits of Christ can be ours by faith. Some of us are like thirsty sheep standing before a bucket of cold, crisp, clear water, asking ourselves, is it really for me? Oh, beloved, if the shepherd has gone through all the effort of hauling it up, how can you say it is not for you? He freely offers himself and all of his benefits to all who desire them. In Revelation 21, verse 6, Christ speaks to John and says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. And in the next chapter, Revelation 22, verse 17, we read these words, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Oh, you see, beloved, there is an abundance in Christ. And he invites you, he urges you, he commands you to come and partake of the water of life freely. But you ask, how is it possible? How is it possible that God can fill my cup to overflowing and invite me, a miserable, hell-deserving sinner, to drink to my heart's content? Well, it's only possible not because of anything you or I have done, but because of what Christ has done. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ drank from another cup. It is not the cup of God's blessing, but the cup of God's wrath. We read of that in Matthew 26. There we have the account of Jesus agonizing before his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, hours before he was led away to be crucified. And in verse 29, we read that leaving his disciples behind, he went off by himself and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. But it was not the Father's will to let the cup of his suffering pass by him. Rather, it was his will that he drink it to the very last dregs. And he did so. And for that reason, he is able to offer us another cup, not the cup of God's wrath, but the cup of God's blessing. And we may freely drink of that cup until the day comes when he will take us up to be with him and to reign with him in that place where no man will ever thirst and where he will wipe away all tears from our eyes. Oh, my friend, have you tasted of that cup? If so, keep drinking from it. There you will find all you need for the salvation of your soul. But if you have never drunk from that cup, if all of this is a foreign language to you, oh, I plead with you today, go to the Good Shepherd. Ask him to open your eyes so that you may see what you are missing. And seeing something of this, that you may also drink freely out of the abundance of his grace. Amen.